this podium would take it and come and speak to the ladies. I see not very many. Why? Is it perhaps because you're nervous? Well, I feel the same way, but you know, I try not to think about that. I try to concentrate on what it is I want to bring across. And I think sometimes a little bit of nervousness is a good thing, because it helps us to rely and depend on the Lord instead of our own strength. And so the butterflies in my tummy and my knocking knees will subside in a few minutes, I'm sure. And I'll be comfortable in sharing what it is I'm going to do today. I'm not going to teach you anything new or anything unusual. What I'm going to do is just share a personal testimony of the things that I have learned from God's Word that have impacted my life greatly. And it's not an easy thing for me to speak about myself, because I've always been a very personal, private person. And so, you know, you feel like you're a little bit out of your comfort zone, but that's okay. Like everybody, like every story, I'll start at the beginning of when my new life in Christ started. In April of 1981, at the age of 15, at a teen camp, I was translated from darkness to light and received forgiveness of my sins when I trusted completely in Christ's death on the cross as the full payment for my sins, not by works of righteousness which I had done, but according to his mercy he saved me. At that time, I did not understand all that trusting Christ had brought me, but what I did know was that I trusted him to save me from sin and hell. I remember going back to the cabin rejoicing and at peace. The burden of my sin was lifted, and I was very thankful. I couldn't wait to get back home after the weekend was done so I could tell those I loved that I was saved. My journey as a believer had just begun, and I was very excited to attend church, Bible study, and teen group meetings so I could learn more about God and His Word. My first Sunday at church after I got saved, the preacher was teaching about following Christ in the waters of baptism. As a new believer, I wanted to please God. So I went up for the altar call to show that I wanted to be baptized. Everyone was very excited and happy for my decision, so I was content that God was pleased with me too. This was just the start of me doing things that I thought pleased God and therefore gained His favor. I had a desire to read my Bible, so that's what I did. However, the problem was I didn't know how to do it. I kept mostly to the Old Testament and somehow got stuck in the Gospels. This resulted in a lot of confusion. God's word and prayer didn't always seem to work very well for me. I would pray earnestly according to Matthew 21:22, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." I felt like God wasn't answering my prayers. Perhaps there was sin in my life, or I didn't have enough faith. Little did I know that even though what I was claiming was truth, it was not written to me as a member of the body of Christ. Slowly but surely, I started losing the joy and the peace that I had experienced at salvation. I reasoned that the problem had to lie with me, and it did, and not God or His Word. My inadequacy became my focus, and feelings of failure overwhelmed me. In my mind, I thought that God must be displeased with me. My insecurities drove me to strive to do more good, making sure I confessed my sins according to 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wanted to be ready, of course, when the rapture took place, so I wasn't going to be left behind. I misunderstood Scripture, and as a result, I had unrealistic expectations of God. I never knew whether he was disciplining me, teaching me something, or just wanting me to wait for an answer. It was all very, very confusing and unsettling. Now I can look back and see how that I got saved by grace through faith, but after that, my entire walk up to this point was based on me maintaining good works to please God because of an incorrect belief system. I was a foolish Galatian, putting myself back under the law and back under bondage. I had fallen from grace, and I was frustrating the grace of God. I misunderstood Scripture, and as a result, as said previously, unrealistic expectations of what God was doing. Then in 1991, a major turning point came in my life. My husband, Des, was busy studying, and I was being inquisitive to see what he was doing, so I went over and asked him, said, "What are you studying?" And he showed me 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, somebody had shared right division with him. He was getting stuck into the word, getting all excited about it. I wanted to see what it was all about, and of course then led to this. Immediately it piqued my interest. Approved of God, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was skeptical at first at what he was telling me, but I decided that I would check it out for myself by looking at the scriptures. I was reading passages like Ephesians 2, 11 to 13. Well, actually further than that, 19. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read it to you. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Finally, after all these years, there was a verse that told me how God would have me study his word by dividing truth in the scriptures. I learned that I needed to make a distinction between what was prophesied and what was kept mystery, what God was doing with the nation of Israel and what God is doing today with the body of Christ in this dispensation of grace. As I continued studying the scriptures, I became more and more convinced that I was on the right track. Finally, I had the answer to much of the confusion I had experienced in the past. Knowing where I belonged in God's economy as a member of the body of Christ in the dispensation of his grace was very comforting. I had a renewed excitement to study God's word and started studying the distinctions between Israel and the body of Christ. I learned that as a member of his body, Paul is my apostle, and that I was to follow him as he followed Christ. Romans 11:13 says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." I learned that my edification as a believer is found in the doctrine found in the Pauline epistles. Romans 16 verse 25 says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery," not according to his earthly ministry, but according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. The rest of the scripture I saw was for my learning, my comfort, and my hope. Clearly, right division is the key that opens wide the scriptures, and Paul's epistles are to be my guide and instructions. Oh, I was so excited to find this out that I could hardly contain myself. At first, I was studying to gain all this newfound knowledge that I had missed out on. As time went on, I realized that studying God's word wasn't just for accumulating knowledge and facts, but that this information given to Paul by the Lord was meant to have an effect on my life. I knew that God's word was quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a living and powerful word, and I realized that God's intent with it was to change my life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 impressed on me the value of God's word and the profit I could gain from it for every detail of my life. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This was the missing piece for me. God's word was going to perfect and furnish me unto all good works. How was he going to do that? Well, Romans 12 verse 2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Colossians 3:10 tells us that, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. These scriptures taught me that having the word of God dwell in me richly would renew my fleshly mind and give me the mind of Christ. It dawned on me that my thinking needs to be in line with who I have been made to be in Christ. I need to know the facts. I need to reckon it, which means account it as true. And then I need to yield to it. I need to believe it. I need to see myself in the way that Christ sees me, and I need to live in light of who I have been made to be. That was a game changer, that for me to see myself in Christ. I started looking at Romans chapter 6, and it taught me that I was dead to sin, but alive unto God through Christ our Lord. I learned that I was free from sin and that sin no longer had dominion or control over me. I learned that I'm a servant of righteousness. It says, Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I'd never seen myself in that light. I was free from guilt and shame and had the forgiveness of sins. Allowing these truths to settle in my mind and heart had brought me tremendous comfort and peace, joy and victory. Me fully identifying with Christ's death, his burial and his resurrection brought me to the reality of Galatians 2:20, which says, and I'm sure all of you can recite it with me, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 has also become very precious to me, because I have realized that when I believe God's word, that it is God that works in me. He's the one that performs it with his word and the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. He produces the desired result, which is a perfected saint that will be able to do the work of the ministry and walk in good works. Have I arrived yet? Certainly not. It is a process, but I am confident of this very thing. Philippians 1:6 says that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I believe that. I'm leaving the work up to God now because he's the one that's able. Coming to understand the riches that I have so freely in Christ through his grace has affected and influenced my life in so many areas. And I'm going to touch on them little, you know, in little segments. First of all, just as a woman, God's word has taught me that in His grace, I am accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6 tells us that. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That brought me a lot of comfort because I always used to feel that God was displeased with me. And just knowing that was just awesome. I've learned not to define myself by my appearance, my abilities, my talents, my failures, or even my faults, but by who I am in Christ Jesus. All that I am and all that I hope to be is found in Him alone. I am content to be exactly who I am meant to be in Him. I think it's an age thing. I've become an emotional mess. I never used to be this way. But I'm sure you can all relate. I've learned that my security, my stability is found in Christ alone, and that I need to trust His word on a daily basis to keep me focused and bring me comfort. I know that I am sealed. Ephesians 1 verse 13 is one of my favorite verses. Because for the longest time, I used to be concerned about whether I was going to be ready or not for when He came to fetch us or when I died. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Very precious. I'm also thankful to know that I'm going to escape the wrath to come. Because 1 Thessalonians 1:10 tells us that we are delivered from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 tells us about being caught up. And I'm going to read that because I love this passage and it will comfort your hearts too. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, the circumstances of our lives can change in an instant. When times are tough and life is unsettling, you can know for sure that what you have in Christ is secure for all of eternity. And I've learned to rest in that. I have an appreciation of what it means to be content. Philippians 4:11 to 13 speaks about Paul, and he says, "For I have learned." It's something that he has learned, and it's something that I have learned too. Is in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I've learned that no matter my state or circumstance, Christ is my strength and I can be content. In my role as a wife, I have learned to trust God's design for my marriage. I grew up in a dysfunctional family, so I did not have a good example of marriage. Coming to understand submission to Christ as my head has taught me submission unto my husband, and to love and respect Him. Ephesians 5:21 to 24 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Sorry, in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ephesians 5:33 tells us, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, that's to the husbands, of course, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I have learned to be a suitable help for him in marriage and ministry, not to be contrary or manipulative, but to help, support, encourage, and pray for him in all that he endeavors to do. I love the man he has become in Christ, and I know that he loves the woman I have become in Christ. I have learned to forgive with the same forgiveness that I have received from God. My husband and I are one flesh, and whatever I do to benefit him will benefit me. It's a win-win situation. I can honestly say that yielding to this doctrine has improved my marriage tremendously, and I would recommend you do it too. As a mother, by understanding God's forgiveness and grace, I've learned to extend grace to my children, even when I don't agree with their decisions. I love my children unconditionally because God loves me unconditionally. And I do not wish to control them, but I want to be a positive, godly influence and an encouragement and support to them. As a member of the body of Christ, I've learned to appreciate and value the members of Christ's body, especially like-minded saints who are an encouragement in faith and also who take care of the needs of the household of faith. Christ is our head, and we are members one of another, and all are necessary. Together we are in the ministry, and as Christ effectually works in each one of us, so the body is being edified. We are to edify one another in love and encourage one another through the word. We ought to be helpers of one another's joy, to be long-suffering, kind, forgiving, and all those good things that God has extended to each and every one of us. And as Paul says to the Philippian believers in chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In ministry, I have learned to rely on God's strength because I have none of my own. I've come to realize that. I love 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, where God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In all honesty, there are times when life gets so busy that I feel like I don't want to do this anymore, or that I don't have the strength to continue. Sometimes I feel like I don't have a life. Then I'm reminded that Christ is my life. And for me to live is Christ. And then complaining and my pity party turns into thanksgiving, joy and contentment. Knowing that I can rest in the all-sufficiency of God's grace. Now to see what I want to say. Pardon me. God's word has impacted my life in more ways than I can share with you today. I have learned to be fully persuaded by God's word to me, knowing that what he has promised, he is able to perform. I love this passage in Romans where it speaks about Abraham and the faith that he had. It says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Job 23, verse 12 says that I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And I am so thankful for the effectually working word of God in my life. First Thessalonians 2:13, once again I'm going to read it, says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I am fully aware that we are in a spiritual battle, and that on a daily basis, I need to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 tells me that. Therefore, I endeavor to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly, because I know it's going to work in me effectually. It's going to cause me to walk worthy of the Lord. It's going to cause me to bear fruits of righteousness. It's going to strengthen me with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness and a heart of thanksgiving. And while I'm still here in this present evil world, I choose to set my affection on things above and to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I think that's it, ladies. I didn't mean to read it, but I think I wouldn't be able to get through it if I didn't. But well, thank you for listening, and I appreciate you all, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my testimony. Thank you.